I get older every year, but the students are still 20 years old. So because I hang out with 20-year-olds all the time, I feel like I have a lot of energy, enthusiasm, and optimism for life because that's what I have found.
Family life is essential. Jim and I are on a mission to help you live the best one. You'll hear personal stories from thought leaders of strengths and struggles with proven strategies to help you make the most of your 18 summers. I'm your co-host, Jamie Shields.
Hello, 18 Summers Tribe. We're here today with Kirsten Elsner. She is celebrating 20 years of National Geographic Photo Camp. Is that correct?
That's right. 20 years. It's very exciting.
Wow. Amazing. And a book coming out in connection with 20 years, correct? Yeah.
It just launched a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, that's super exciting.
It's here. I have one here. Yeah.
I would love to see it. I was thinking it wasn't quite out yet.
I know we're on.
Oh, that looks great.
Photo camp stories.
Very exciting.
And now, where did this idea get birthed from? Like, have you initiated this entire thing over 20 years ago?
Yeah, 20 years ago, I was a freelancer working mainly for the New York Times and Reuters and International Red Cross, those kinds of places based out of Washington, D.C. And the idea came from that early beginning where I was sort of traveling the world and all over the country and photographing other people's stories. And I started thinking, even as a young photographer, I was like, you know, I think that the camera and the journal and the pen should probably be in the hands of the people whose stories are being documented. So it was just sort of an idea. Now, thankfully, a lot of organizations do this type of thing. But back then, it was kind of a new idea. And that's how it all started. It was kind of the idea of giving the cameras to the folks whose stories we were trying to learn about.
Wow.
That's so powerful. And now, is photo camp for children or all ages?
It is for children of all ages. No, it's for young people who are 17 to 22 is kind of our sweet spot. We've sometimes worked with a little bit younger or a little bit older, but 17 through 22. So really teens and young adults is our audience.
And now what do you find by handing the lens and the perspective over to these young adults? How has that perspective changed over the years? What mattered maybe 20 years ago in their story and to their hearts? What is that looking like as time has progressed?
I would answer that question by saying the things that matter seem to be the same. I mean, we always say, you know, this is a generation of people with something to say. The world should be listening. We're talking as if it's one generation, but over 20 years, to your point, it's been a couple of generations. But I have found that the things that they want to describe and photograph and tell stories about are very similar over the years. And they're the same as the stories that I might want to tell. They're stories of their family, their community. I guess more recently, young people have wanted to talk more about issues such as climate change and their relationship to the environment. I mean, that always was the case, even 20 years ago, a relationship to the environment. But the new challenges that we have been facing or know more about what we're facing over the past 15, 10 years, I would say that's the one thing that's changed. But in general, I think they want to talk about their communities and their families.
Yeah, I could definitely see maybe from what you're saying, it's shifting from an appreciation of those things, like thinking of nature and of to almost like a cause for it.
Yeah, you're right. In some of the early days, the themes were around young people's relationship to nature and their environment. And they came up with those ideas and those themes. And now maybe the shift has been a little bit more towards still that same theme, their relationship and their community's relationship to the environment, but advocating for change and positive action to combat climate change and things of that nature.
And is there any sort of favorite theme or favorite photographs that stick out over? Obviously, there's a lot of photographs in 20 years, but is there anything that comes to the top when you think of that?
Yeah, there are over 2,500,000, I think, is what we've determined when we were putting the book together. We were looking through all the archives. So there are quite a few, but I would say overall, some of my favorites have to do with the self-portraits that the students make. So there's always a day where we're focusing on portraits and self-portraiture. And I really love those because the students love them. They love to make self-portraits and they work with partners. It's not, we always call it beyond selfies. It's not just sort of sticking your camera out and snapping a picture of yourself smiling. We're asking them how they would like to present themselves and show us some meaningful self-portraits and portraits of one another. And I think those are always very telling because they also add writing to go along with their portraits and self-portraits. And I think that's important to them and meaningful because it gives context to the photography.
Yeah. Interesting. Oh, I was going to say, is this in a certain location though? I know you mentioned you were in Costa Rica before, but is there a certain area that's really touched you to do these self-portraits in? Or
we do it on every camp. So it's so hard to think of a favorite place because running through my mind right now are just the dozens and sometimes hundreds of young people that I'm remembering when they were making their self-portraits or working together. So it really is all over the world. I have many favorite places, Costa Rica probably being one of them. That was the last photo camp we did in person before the pandemic shut us down for a couple of years, and we did some virtual camps. I love the work we've done in India, New Zealand, Botswana. Really, I can't think of a favorite place because sometimes you think of these exotic places like, wow, it's so interesting to travel to these places. But for me, the beauty of it is that I get to not be a traveler or a tourist in any way. I'm really there to listen to the voices of young people in these communities. I feel like I'm really learning the stories of these places through their eyes.
I love that.
Now, I follow an account on Instagram, and I know that you're a big proponent of using the lens to tell story, you know, just using social media to get our unique perspectives out there. So this one account I followed just recently, it made me think of you. It talked about this mother gave her child, I guess it was a phone, I don't know if it was a camera, and just said, take pictures of your favorite things. Mm-hmm. And when it came back, it was like a chicken nugget. Her baby sister was like the things that mattered in her perspective. And it was so precious because you realize like maybe what to focus on a little more. And I just wonder if the images that come back to you or the way in which these young people see the world, are there clues as to how we can, as adults, live better or facilitate a better experience for our children?
Yeah.
For example, you know, seeing something like a chicken nugget matters so much. And this is a super simplified version of my question, but being able to say like, okay, this isn't just a chicken nugget to them. This is one of their favorite things. So maybe we can have a little fun with chicken nuggets next time. Maybe there'll be dinosaur chicken nuggets, or maybe we can make a second or third dipping sauce to make it a more fun experience. I don't know, but I just think like, or the baby sister, like, wow, you really love your baby sister, you know, and pouring into these experiences, like, are there little trails that they give us through their images of what matters most?
Yeah, I think so. Through their images and also through the words and the assignments that they choose to do. So we come to a place with the idea of, well, maybe we're going to be talking about sea level rise or this community's relationship to one another. We worked with the Pacifica community in Auckland, New Zealand, and there were people from various locations that all made up the Pacifica community. So they came up with ideas for the writing assignments that they wanted to do. So I don't know if this answers your question, but I think it's important to know that the writing and photography together make up their stories. And we arrive and we listen carefully. We have team leaders that might be from the community, and we say, okay, what kind of story do you think they might want to work on? What sort of challenges do they face in this community? And really within those first like 12 to 24 hours, we come up with a writing assignment. So for that example, the writing assignment was to write a letter to your ancestors. And that was sort of a trail, and it's different everywhere, but that was a trail to answer your question. In that community, the Pacifica community, like many other communities, are very respectful of their ancestors. So mm-hmm. they wrote this letter, and then they made photographs to go along with the letters, to accompany the letters. One young man had written a letter to his grandfather who had died recently and then wanted to figure out how to make photographs of the stars because he saw his grandfather in the stars. And through our explorer, Sitlali Fabian, another National Geographic explorer, photographer, Victor Seja, you should look up these photographers, they're amazing. And they taught this young man how to make some pictures of the stars, which is, as you know, isn't easy to do. So there was a trail right there that showed what was important. If we had just come in and said, okay, we want to do something that talks about the Pacifica community in New Zealand, we would have gotten something, but it was important that we listened to them and asked them to help us design the assignments. And then we follow those trails. I like the way that you phrased that question. You know, what are the trails? That's what we do at Photo Camp. I think that's what we do best. We follow those trails and create assignments and help to create a story that's based on the things that they want to talk about and tell us.
That matter most, that are maybe even hidden in there waiting for an opportunity.
Yeah.
And now how?
Than chicken nuggets, but
I'm a little younger age than there probably weren't many 17 to 22 year olds.
Well, a lot of times the students want to photograph their grandmother cooking or the things that they eat. So that's not unusual. Food is an important part of all of our lives. And that's something accessible for young people to grab onto for an assignment. Like, well, let's go over and photograph dinner tonight. Actually, in Norway, we were working with young people. Can I tell you another story about that? Well, in Europe in 2017, we worked in Athens, Greece, and in a couple places in Norway, where I don't know if you remember, but in 2017, there were many displaced people and young people coming across into Europe. And there was a lot of confusion and misunderstanding as to why, and kind of having them integrate into the communities and integrate into the schools and things like that. So we created a series of photo camps. The work was then displayed at the Nobel Peace Center in Oslo. But the idea was to have young people from the European communities, from Athens and Oslo, Norway, Bergen, Norway, and combine them together with young people who were coming from other countries for a variety of reasons, for their safety and things like that. And they went to each other's homes or places that were important to them for dinner, and photographed the meals that they were having and asked them about the food that they were cooking. And, you know, I just remember listening to the young people from Norway saying, wow, these amazing and interesting people are cooking Somali food right in our own neighborhood, and we didn't even know it. The food's so good. And that's a way that photography and food sort of combined together to allow these young people to connect with one another and learn each other's stories.
So would you say breaking bread and ancestry are almost a common theme across these many very diverse areas you're going into?
Yeah, many of them. I would say so.
Yeah.
That's so important. Our audience is parents. I would say we get some grandparents, some aunts and uncles, but lots of parents that are looking for those, again, to turn back to those trails or those pieces of like, okay, how can I bring this magic into our family? And I just think that hearing that breaking bread is one of our big values and principles. And what we teach is that just making space to sit together, to share the stories or to enjoy a meal together, the importance of that. And so I love hearing that that's something that's come up time and time. And then that ancestry, I think it matters so much to know where we came from or how we got here or lessons to be had from those or to feel led or guided. I know you have such a strong connection to your grandfather, whom you've never met.
Yeah, no, but I have many of photos from him that I've looked back on, and letters and war diaries and things like that. So yeah, I definitely felt that tie right when you said that. I said, oh, I can relate with that right away. I wonder, with doing it for 20 years now, have you had some cool communications with kids saying, you know what, this made me realize, you know what, this set me in the trajectory for? Obviously something as deep as this, and being married to a photographer who just sees so much depth in it, it's helped my appreciation. Have you had any of those cool stories of kids coming back and ahas or directionals that came from it?
That's so funny. I wrote aha moments.
I wish that you had the book with you, because yes, I have a box of boxes actually, and on my laptop, of communication that are about that exact idea. So young people have written to us and followed up with us, many hundreds of them over the years, saying that photo camp sort of guided them to think about their own world and community in different ways. And one of my favorites that I remember from many years ago was something, you know, and they write these in the evaluations too. So we have ways of collecting this information as well, but we also just get text messages and Instagram posts and all kinds of things where we follow up and we see the effect. And I just remember this one from years ago that was something like, actually, it's in the book somewhere. I should look it up, but it's something like, photography and photo camp has helped me to understand the beauty of my family, my neighborhood, my community, where I didn't even know how beautiful it was. But as we all know, when we're practicing photography, we are looking for not always beautiful things. We're looking for meaningful things, but sometimes we find beauty in something simple that we didn't even know it was going to be there. So I would say photo camp students tell us that all the time. Also, they write little notes to one another, actually physical notes that they put in the camera bags. And then those cameras go to the next country and might go halfway around the world. And we see those sometimes. And they're telling the person in the next photo camp, like, take advantage of this opportunity. You're going to see things in your own backyard that you never saw before. Things like that. So yeah, I love that. It's one of my favorite parts of working with students.
Yeah, it must be rewarding.
Have you had any large aha moments through this? You've had 20 years of experiencing younger eyes. Every time you do a camp, you might be a little older, but the students are not any older. They're that same age range. And Have you had any moments as you've gained in wisdom and you're seeing their excitement for life? Have you had anything that stands out specifically?
Well, I'd say in general, it has kept me feeling very young over the years, because you're right, I get older every year, but the students are still 20 years old and they stay the same. So because I hang out with 20-year-olds all the time, I feel like I have a lot of energy and enthusiasm and optimism for life, because that's what I have found. Now, that, of course, is a wild generalization. There's thousands of students that I've worked with. But I would say in general, throughout the experience of a photo camp, there is quite a bit of optimism. We're asking students to introduce themselves by telling us what their gift to the world might be, those types of things. And so we have lots of optimistic, thoughtful young people telling us these ideas. And so it's kept me feeling very young. But I'd say aha moments in a really personal sense. I would say that the story I told you about with the write a letter to your ancestors and the respect for elders in New Zealand, we've worked in 5 different camps over the past couple of years in New Zealand. So it wasn't just it was a whole series. And I wouldn't say it was a snap your fingers aha moment, but it was just something that I really deeply appreciated. And so in my own life, this summer, I was visiting my mom, who's getting older herself, and we started interviewing her and having her tell her stories, and I'm photographing her and making portraits. And so I'm thinking of your audience when you asked before, like, what are ways to bring magic into my own family through these ideas? I would say, try telling the story of your own family. And it's really fun. You can do it with your iPhone or your cell phone or your camera if you have one. But find an aunt or an uncle or a grandfather or a mom or a sister even, and trying to find ways to learn their stories, but in a more organized way, you know, like through a photography assignment that you can give yourself. And that is something that moms and dads and grandparents and kids and grandkids could do as a Christmas or, you know, a holiday activity together, or a summer activity or something like that. And it is so fun. That's been an aha moment for me, where I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so busy always doing these photo camps. I should be doing this in my own life. Mm-hmm. And when I asked my mom to, would she be on camera? Could I make some portraits of her? Could I record her story from when she was young? She loved it. It was so much fun. And you can do it back and forth with your kids.
Did you learn some things about your mom? You're like, I had no idea. I didn't know that.
No idea. And I learned about like her grandmother, things that I didn't know. She had a grandmother that was super entrepreneurial and did all these kind of crazy things. And I never even knew that. I'm like, oh, that's part of my history. And photography, storytelling, writing, interviewing, those things are magic in that way. So that's an aha moment for me. I think I probably got the idea from some of those New Zealand photo camps, but it's actually, you're right. I think that's all the camps that I've done over 20 years. It all came to this moment where I was like, why am I not doing this more intentionally in my own life?
Yeah.
That's powerful. Where did you get the inspiration to start photo camp at all?
Just those early days when I was working at the New York Times and thinking that the camera should be in the hands of the people whose stories were being told. It just sort of sprang from there. And then I started working with young people in the juvenile drug court system of my hometown in Annapolis, Maryland. And the idea was to allow them or ask them to share their own stories of how they got to where they were. They were court ordered to come to my workshop. So the first day was really funny. They were like, okay, I have to be here. And they were court ordered to be there as part of their rehabilitation program. But then you break the ice over the first few days. Who doesn't think photography is cool? We have, you know, they're using cameras. They didn't love the writing assignment part at first. But then when they realize it's about them and their story, and then fast forward to the end of that program, there was an exhibition where we put all their photographs, and their assignment was to write a letter to a person you admire. So kind of a similar theme, but this is
very cool.
Yeah, they wrote a letter to someone they admired, and they made a series of photographs to go with that photo. We exhibited that work in the Anne Arundel County Courthouse, and the people that they had written the letters to, usually their foster parent or guardian or someone, came to the exhibit. And I'll just never forget that. I mean, there were, you know, some sort of very quiet moments, and then I saw some hugs and some tears as some of the foster parents read those letters, because they didn't know that this young person respected or admired them. And that was photography, writing, storytelling, and an exhibition working together. And it was just powerful. So those are some of the things that informed my kind of the early creation of PhotoCamp.
That's incredible.
Really special. How important do you think documenting, like for children to have a place to get these things out and down? So I can only imagine how maybe that was the first time those children in juvenile, you know, this court ordered program had an opportunity to just sit for a moment with thoughts and feelings and put them to paper or to take a picture of them.
Yeah.
How important have you seen, or maybe even just the transformation in those lives, the difference in introducing a modality like you're doing, that perspective and that pause almost to see perspective? How important do you feel that is to not just young people, but to all of us?
To all of us, I would say it's crucial, especially young people who are going through some challenges in their lives that might be more than others. I think that it's crucial. And I can't say that PhotoCamp or Vision Workshops, which is the original nonprofit that began PhotoCamp, I can't say that's the only time that any of these young people have had the chance to do that. But I would say that when we do that, we know, because we hear from them, that it is so important. And it might be uncomfortable for them at first. And that juvenile drug court program was a semester-long program. It didn't happen on the first day. It happened over a variety of after-school workshops and Saturdays spent with them and trust building on our part. So we had a team of photographers and editors that were working with these young people, as well as with our partner. Like, we worked really closely, and we still always do work really closely with partners who understand the community. So we don't just drop in and not have any knowledge of what's going on there. We work with community liaisons, team leaders from their school, things like that. And we know that it's really important for them to have that outlet. That's why we say stories can change lives. Well, why is that? Because just sharing stories with one another. If I share my story with you, I'm inviting you to share your story with me. And it's a way to make a connection with one another. And I think that's really crucial for young people in particular.
Yeah. Well, I've always said too, Jamie and I are pretty alternative with our education for our five kids. And I always thought it was kind of a shame that traditional education makes us learn all about these stories and stats. We don't get to learn our own story. Mm-hmm. And when I heard what you were saying, you're helping people learn their own story. If they say, I didn't realize how beautiful my own community was, my own story. You didn't realize about your entrepreneurial grandmother. There is some sort of grounding, at least there has when I've tracked back my family roots and done that. You're giving them the gift of getting to know themselves. And there's real strength in that. And if we don't learn our own story, it's really hard. It's like a ship with no rudder. You know what I mean? At least that's what it's been for me. I feel like I have a rudder on my boat now. That's been really helpful. I don't know if that makes sense to you from your experience.
It makes total sense, because I feel like if we want to be useful to other people, we have to know ourselves and have to know our own stories. And that's how photography, writing, storytelling, exploring our own stories, that's why it's important. Not just because it's fun. It is fun. But it is important, like you said, to kind of be grounded. And I think that as Americans, if I can say this, I think that's not natural for us sometimes because we're so independent, and that's all great. But in all these other countries that I've visited, not just the one I mentioned, that story about New Zealand, but in many other countries, there's so much respect for ancestors, grandparents, elders, that over the years, really taken that into my own life and realized the importance of that. And to your point, I think that's part of learning your own story, is knowing where you come from and who you're connected to in your own family and community.
Yeah.
That's powerful. Yeah. Now, where can we find your book?
Well, I know it's on Amazon, so you can find it on Amazon.com. If you live in Washington, D.C., you can come into the National Geographic headquarters and it's in the store there, but it's on Amazon. And I think other places, I've seen it on Penguin. It just came out a couple weeks ago, but it's a link to you for you to.
Yeah, please do. We'll put in the show notes.
20 years of PhotoCamp.
Yeah.
20 years. And that had to have been so hard to pick.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Out of 2.5 million.
Right, right. There was a wonderful book design team, and Kathy Moran was the photo editor. She and I worked together because we were not only picking the images, but the stories, the writings, which are just on pieces of paper, you know, they're just all over the place. But we have really good archives, but it was just selecting all of those words and pictures together. It was really fun.
I look forward to reading it and being inspired. And I feel inspired just by your suggestion of doing the interviewing, maybe this holiday season, maybe we'll make space for, I'm thinking specifically, our younger children can't believe how your sister, Aunt Carolyn, was in the military. Like, they think that like blows their mind. Aunt Carolyn was in the war. I'm like, she was in a war. Maybe we should ask her. But how neat that maybe we could get to know something as like Carolyn's story in the military, and she can share. But it's just interesting as we're talking. I hope that our listeners can think of maybe moments in which they could dig in and do some storytelling.
What I really think is going to happen is we're going to get your book and you're going to get this email that says, look, I know it's normally 17 to 22.
Can I
but come? Can a 40-year-old come?
How old are your guys? Is there four?
Well, I'm talking about her wanting to come.
Oh, okay.
It is so fun. I could see digging this tremendously. Yeah. Our 20-year-old, but his mama, you know, in the movies here would definitely be.
You could run your own photo camp with five kids. You've got, let's see, one quarter of what we normally have for a whole photo camp, 20 kids. You can think of questions. And I mean, that's the fun of it. You could like ask them to think of some questions in advance. Like, what would they like to ask Aunt Carolyn, you know, about her time in the military? And then that gives them a moment to think like, okay, well, what was it really like? Was that really hard, especially for a woman? Or, you know, like anything that they want to ask. And then they actually, it's like a, almost like a little assignment. It makes it really fun. And then, okay, what's a series of photographs that you could make? You could make a portrait of her. You can make a portrait of her uniform in the closet or of her hands, and even get kind of conceptual and artistic with it. Like, what's a series of photographs that can go along? And then you make a little package, which is so interesting, and then give that to her as a gift. I'm thinking of your audience and thinking like, wow, there's so much you can do with it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm super excited. Well, I would like that book for Christmas.
Yeah. There you
go. On the list. It's a little coffee table book, that's for sure.
And so. I do know that you love to tell stories through social media. Where can our listeners follow you and learn more about these projects you're working on?
Instagram is the way to go. It's Instagram, and I'll drop this an email to you as well. It's NG Photocamp, like National Geographic, NG Photocamp.
Perfect. Excellent. Awesome. Kirsten, thank you so much for being here today and sharing your ideas and your excitement for perspective with young adults. I think it's so important.
Well, it's great to meet you. And I love the work that you're doing too. So good luck with those holiday interviews and books that you'll be creating.
Thank you for inspiring us.
Yeah.
Take care.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for joining the 18 Summers podcast and putting your family in priority position. Subscribe and leave a review and help other families just like you.